Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Wow, yesterday was a beautiful day. It was a little bit cool for my taste for a June day, but you know, I got out there and mowed the lawn. Actually, I had fun mowing the lawn. That doesn't happen too often. But the Lord is good, you know, so we really enjoyed that. And of course, VBS. It was kind of weird the last couple of nights not to have to rush off, you know, to go to VBS. But you know, what a blessing that was to be with the kids and to enjoy them, and to just to see their faces and laughing and learning and just interacting. It's a blessing. It brings a whole new energy into a church building, you know. And I asked, you know, because I know. We're going to talk a little bit about some beliefs, and you know, there's a lot of beliefs out there, and a lot of them are an error. They're called erroneous beliefs. That's what I say they are. You know, and a lot of people don't go to church because they think only Christians go to church. So I asked the kids, I said, well, who can go to church? And, well, they gave a good answer. Said, I can! You know, but I think if we ask some adults, you know, the adults are probably going, well, you know, because we get jaded as life goes on. You know, things happen in our lives that cause us to go, oh, you know, this happened, that I had that experience. And so they might not feel like, you know, they can go to church. And we're going to be talking about that because I think, you know, Jesus is talking to these people, this whole crowd as well, and helping them understand the important things of making sure that we understand what truth is, right? Is this what Pastor Smith used to say? Yes. See, I was hoping I got in the right order because when we were in California, this was our sending church. Yeah, he switched it. See, I always switch it the other way. See, he did, you know, a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, but I say I like it the other way. I like a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, you know. So, but our old pastor back in Redlands, a great orator of the word, and he had a good heart. And so I just thought about him when I was going through this. Another tough scripture, right? And it's just Jesus, you know, because this whole, you know, from 12 and whatever, you know, just whole chapter 12, now going into 13, is talking about a crisis of belief and judgment to come. So you can't be all fluffy, furry, softy with that stuff. Okay, you know, you have to tell the truth as it is. And Jesus does not hold back. You know, praise the Lord that he doesn't, because, you know, we do need a kick in the pants. I know I need it. To make sure that, as we're saying, you know, come before the throne of grace. You know, where's it all coming from? So today we're going to be looking at that more and more. You know, it's interesting, talking about erroneous beliefs, you know, is this working? Maybe if I turn it on, it will work. There we go. You know, so, you know, way back then, you know, remember the earth was flat. The earth is flat. Well, there's some still earth-flat people today, right? People still believe that they're still flat. What is flat earthers or whatever they call them there? You know, but they discovered way back when, you know, that, you know, it was not flat. It's actually, you know, kind of a sphere, right? And then also, you know, oh, the moon is cheese. You know, little mice are up there eating it. You know, of course you'd be talking. You know, those are, you know, kind of funny beliefs. You know, they're not really important. You know, they're not life changing. You know, the flat Earth was kind of life changing though, right? Lightning never strikes twice in the same place. Burp. Okay. Well, if you go to the Empire State Building and stand up on the needle, you'll get 100 times a year. So, and then you got one of my favorites, chocolate milk comes from brown colored cows. You have to have brown colored cows to have chocolate milk. Yes. See? And I'm sorry, Mick, but that's kind of correct because, you know, you do have to have cows, but they don't always have to be brown to make chocolate milk. And one of my favorites is, you know, I didn't have to. My grandfather did not have to wear Old Spice for me to exist today, you know. So, you know, that's erroneous belief. Okay, that's so those type of things. So some of these things, you know, can be life changing. Some of them are just, you know, not that critical for our life. But you know, there are things that are erroneous beliefs in our lives that can become a hindrance to the truth. and cause us to fall off the cliff because we're following everybody else. Because, you know, and this crazy world of ours with all these things happening around us, you know, tragedies and just things that are just amazing, you know, we're trying to make sense of it. And we, you know, and all that, trying to make sense of it, and we're trying to get a handle of it, so we start building beliefs. You know, like if you go to Thailand, they like to wrap ribbons around certain trees because they're very spiritual trees, because Buddha, you know, something to do with Buddha being under the trees and stuff of that. What's that? You got enlightened under the trees. So when you have these certain trees, you wrap it around. That's special. Don't you dare hurt that tree, all right? You know, that's a belief. That's an erroneous belief. I mean, what it was a tree where he laid out, but enlightened? Enlightened by who? We know that it wasn't God himself enlightening him. So these type of things happen in our lives. You know, other things come up, you know, and experiences. You know, we have bad experiences with a certain group of people, and of course, we start talking bad, talking down, and before you know it, these people are low to low. You know, you think about women throughout history have been, you know, downtrodden, thought, you know, finally the women, you know, the value of women in the world is starting to pop up now, right? But what is this, 2022? You know, it's been a long time. You know, all that, you know, you think of race, you think about the blacks, you know, the people who have dark skin. You go to Thailand, you know, they like the white skin. You go to America and go, huh, they laugh at you for having white skin. You want dark skin. So they have all these things, you know, but when they start telling, oh, these people aren't human because they have dark skin, you know, that's another erroneous belief. They're not human. And that's hurt a lot of people. Right? It's caused a lot of strife. So all these things, you know, it can get, you know, can lead to serious problems. And especially when we have these beliefs like, you know, we can't go to church because we're not Christian. We're not good enough. You know, those type of things is what we have to break down. And when we hear them, or even some things that approach in our lives and approaching our lives and our hearts and our belief system, we have to really, really examine them, test them before the Word of God to see really where it lies. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, we thank you again that we can come before you to get into your Word. And Lord, it is difficult. Such a simple thing, it seems like. But Lord, you speak to our hearts, and there are times when it gets very difficult to take because it really does hit us deeply. And Lord, that is what your Word does. It is that double-edged sword, you know, reaching down to the depths of our souls and just cutting us up, Lord. We need that, Lord. So, Lord, help us to listen, to learn, to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. And Lord, to get on those paths that you have for us to walk on, to bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So I know some people like construction. I guess we could say people who like to bake, you have a measuring cup. You know, for people who like to build, you know, you have the plumb line. And, you know, you try to, you know, see what's, is your wall going to be straight? You know, so the plumb line, Jesus is laying it down, you know, through chapter 12 and all that, you know, 11 and all, you know, he's the plumb, you know, saying, hey, you know, where's your heart? You know, he comes back down to that. Where is your treasure? There your heart will be also. So where you're putting your priorities in life, that's where your heart is. You know, and when you're being intimidated from standing firm in faith, you know, where is your heart? When you have all this wealth around you, where is your heart? Are you rich towards God? Are you seeking His kingdom first? All this, he's just going, here it is, guys. You know, when we come up against the cross, and these people here in that time, this big old crowd and his disciples are listening to him, he has already performed miracle after miracle after miracle, and he just healed somebody. He just healed somebody. And he's created this huge crowd. And it's kind of hard to deny, you know, what he is doing. That he, you know, he's saying, you know, look at me. You know, all these miracles are just saying, you know, revealing to everybody that he is the Messiah. Now, I'm the Messiah, guys. Why are you playing games? Why are you still scratching your head going, I'm not ready yet? So he's putting down this plumb line saying, where do you stand? Because the judgment is coming. Now he's taken that judgment of God, the Father, on himself for us. But then there's a judgment to come afterwards for those who have not come to the cross of Christ. And so he's given them an urgent warning. You can see his heart in all of this. And peace, people always say, you know, we were just talking about that peace. You know, he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Because when we start encountering Christ and he starts changing us, it changes things around us. The people around us will see that, and there might be rejection. There might be people who are angry, who are looking to kill you because of your beliefs. Or people who are just go, So there can be division right in your own household, he's saying. And only peace comes through the cross of Christ. There's no other place where peace will come. Not a peace that God gives that is a precious and perfect peace that only he can give. It's through Christ. It's through getting right with God himself. And that is what Christ did for us on the cross. So, talk about, you know, as we were reading this, and I was going through, well, this is kind of an interesting thing. And he says, you know, first of all, these people were saying to Jesus, here he says, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. You know, that sounds like a pretty gruesome thing, isn't it? You know, Pilate was pretty cruel. And as I was reading a little bit more about this situation, trying to get a little bit more information, you know, I mean, there's no real details, but certainly the cruelty of Pilate matches up with this. So these guys were coming to make a sacrifice, and Pilate was trying to make an example of them or whatever, and he killed them, and their blood was mixed with the blood of their lambs or bulls or whatever they're sacrificing to God. Pretty gruesome. And you can just see it, because the common belief back then, and even now today, is, you know, they're pointing out, hey, Jesus, you talk about judgment. Well, these guys were judged. They must have been really bad guys. You know, only bad things happen to bad people. That's the common belief then. And I guarantee you, it's common belief now. Well, they must have been very bad, Jesus. You know, in John 9, when, you know, the disciples are asking about the blind man. Oh, it's because of his sin. Was it because of his sin, or is it his parents' sin that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither. You know, God arranged this. The Father arranged this so he could bring glory to his name. Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms and legs, he was going to commit suicide, because what a life is that? Why would he even be born? Why would God even want to create somebody like him? We're talking about God, you know, created us, we're wonderfully and fearfully made. He knew what he was creating. And finally, Nick, before he was going to commit suicide, said, no, I can't. My parents love me too much. I just can't do that to them. And then he started noticing that there's other people around him that were hurting, and he could speak encouragement, and they would listen to him, because they would probably think, boy, if this guy can do this, I'm much better off than him. I got legs and arms. And now he's traveling all over the world telling people about Christ. He has his own family. Even though his carrier will still put him up into the baggage thing of the airplane just for fun. Right? God creates in such a powerful way, a wonderful way. And so we just think, there's those beliefs. But Jesus is saying, no, guys. No, because this can happen to you too. And he comes here, he says, he talks about these Galileans and something else happened, this tower fell on 18 others who have died and stuff like that. And he says, you know what? He says, I tell you, no. Your belief is a no. He's saying, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. He's bringing it all together. He's saying, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. Be prepared because a tower can fall on you. Some cruel guy can take your life. Something else can happen. And it's even true today. We don't know, breath to breath, if we're going to make it. So Jesus is saying, be ready. He's talking about the watchfulness way back. He's talking about, being ready for Christ to come. Being ready to meet him face to face. Are you ready? Repent. Repent. For you too can have something fall on you. And this was from Alistair when I was reading, this the devotion that I have here. And it just says, and this is humanity. Humanity's disposition is one of proud defiance towards God and therefore against his people. I can just, we shake our hands at God. We know better. I got better plans than you. We got science. We got medical stuff. We got pharmacies. We got all this stuff. We got surgeries, all that stuff. We freaking forget about God. Go over to Africa where nothing exists like that there. And when people are in trouble, they're dying, they got cancer, where do they go? If they have God, they pray to God. And I tell you something, you see miracles happen. We don't know all the miracles that are happening. I know, I've known people in Thailand when they're going in certain areas and hearing things about people being raised from the dead. God is still doing miracles. We don't see it here because we rely upon what we built up. We built our own little kingdom that's going to fall. And Jesus is saying, stop and get rich towards me. Seek my kingdom first. And then I'll give you all these other things. Stop the stuff, these beliefs. Repent, or you will perish too. And perish in this context is really being destroyed for eternity. It's being in hell, Gehenna, which was a place outside Jerusalem's walls that they burned things, trash, I guess, and stuff like that. Don't go there because there's a judgment coming and there's an urgency in Christ's message to the people. That's why he's not even, he tells this story, but it's not even that hard to understand, is it? Talking about this tree. And these things here, talking about, just destruction. Right? This is what happens. We perish. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. That's hell. It's not a very good place. There's a place of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. A lot of people say, well, I'll go to hell. That's an erroneous belief too, that it'll be a nice place to be, right? It isn't. It's without the presence of the Lord and it's in a fiery furnace that you will never die from, because God created souls that he will not just take away. They live on forever, one place or another, with God or in hell. And that's all there is to it. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, he prepared hell for the Satan, all right, and his demons. He doesn't want to see us in there. So the urgency is there. So then we start. He starts talking about this tree. And he says, well, it's growing in this vineyard. Well, really, the fig tree and a vineyard really represent the nation of Israel. But we are Israel. All right, and actually, I think he's also speaking, you know, he's judging them and warning them, but he's also warning us today. You know, that, you know, this tree, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. You're not seeking me. You're not being rich towards me. Your treasure isn't, I'm not part of your treasure chest. So you're fruitless, because we know in John 15, it's saying without him, we can't bear any fruit. Especially everlasting fruit. We might look pretty good, you know, because the Jews look pretty good. They had all those rules, right? They had all those things they can put on their bodies and all the things, looking pretty good. I'm following God. I'm following this rule. I'm following that rule. Just like every other religion in this world, they got rules that you do and you make points, merit and stuff like that, to be able to be good enough to not go to hell, but to go to heaven. That's an erroneous belief. Because God has already given us a way of salvation in one way, the one-way ticket, through Christ alone. And good works really isn't a part of it, except for just expressing our love, our faith, through good works. See, a lot of people twist it around. They put good works so they can look good before God and think that they're good enough to get before this consuming, holy, perfect God who is a consuming fire. So can you see Christ's heart in this? I don't know if he was shouting or not, but I can hear his voice just saying, please, right now, not tomorrow, now, decide, follow me. I am your, look at what I've done. Nobody else can do this stuff. And yet you're still scratching your head going, I'm waiting for something else. I'm waiting for something I expect, that I want. And Christ is saying, no, I'm it. And there's no one else. It's no one else. And this is so true, isn't it? Because when I look at that tree, when I read that, and it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's God, all right? He has given us every chance. Sometimes you wonder, you know, this guy, he's, you know, you look at the life of Hitler or somebody like that. Why did God let, you know, keep him from being assassinated? How many times was he trying to assassinate the guy during World War II? I can't remember how many number. It was a pretty high number. God didn't allow it to happen. Why? You know what sticks out in our lives, and it should stick out every day, even what Sam was saying this morning. You know, that their grace. God's patience is so powerful. And if you read this story, it's the forefront of it all, God's mercy and that patience. He loves us so much that he's willing to wait. He's willing to wait to see if we will turn to him. His mercy is just showered upon us constantly, flooding over us to touch our lives and hopes that none would be perishing. He did that for Satan himself and the angels, the demons that, you know, that he has. He didn't do it for us. He didn't make hell for us. We make hell for us. We have the choice. People say, oh, God would never do that. He would never He's so loving and merciful. He'll never throw anybody into hell. How can a loving God do that? Because he is just and holy and fair. He does not have any favoritism. He's already given us the way. How unfair it would be, you know, as he gave his one and only son to save us, to die for us, and we're going, oh, you're not going to throw, you can't throw me into hell if I choose another way. Well, he doesn't want to, but we're the ones that are choosing to step into hell. He's not throwing you into hell. You already made your decision to be thrown into hell by rejecting, by shaking your fist in that proud defiance before God. I'm God! And that's what happened to Lucifer. His great patience abounds. Other things, you know, universalism, everybody's going to be saved. Annihilism, you know, God's going to annihilate everybody. Nobody's going to exist. It's just going to, we're going to go out of existence. Sort of second chance theory where people think, oh, when we get in heaven, we're going to be able to do something before God and not be thrown into hell. There's one way. There's the choice that he has given us. And he has shown us patience. Great patience in all of that. All erroneous errors, you know, beliefs that cause us to try to reassure ourselves that we can still do what we want and not have any consequences for it before a holy God. And so the five R's. Right? I mean, if we really want to be a fruitful tree, we have to come before the throne of grace. And, you know, this is it. This is what we should be doing, right? It's a once and for all thing. You know, boom, you repent. You know, like Peter, when he caught all those fish and he looked at Jesus and all of a sudden he said, oh, you are the Messiah. And he fell down before him. He said, get away from me, I'm the sinner. Get away from me. All that was happening in his life, that repentance. It's also repentance is a day-to-day thing. It's not just a once-for-all thing, but as we know, it is a day-to-day thing as well for us to keep those sins from taking us down. To repent. To recognize our sin. To feel sorry for it. To have a change in the way we used to think about that sin. You know, I like to watch that stuff, and it just is not good for me, but I still like to watch it. But now, less and less, oh, I just don't need to see that anymore. Or I don't need to say that anymore. I used to say this all the time. Or I used to think this way about these type of people or these people or whatever all the time. And now you just kind of go, no, less and less. There's a changing and a lifestyle change to where you even live your life. Some people even have to move, get away from things. And making things right with others. That's, I think that might be one of the hardest right there because they actually have to do something there for somebody else. Redemption. The R's of repentance brings fruit to our lives, a new life, a model for others to follow. So in all of this, it's just, you know, you think about what does this look like for our lives, and we already know, you know, there's a lot of people around us who are, you know, they have erroneous beliefs. They believe this and that about God. You know, and I understand some people, you know, when a tragedy happens in a family, and a lot of times, you know, or something happens in their lives, they become disappointed with God or angry with God. Why, God, did you take my dad? Why did my wife die so soon? Or why did I lose my job? Or why is my health just falling apart? all that, and it can drive us away from God. And we start thinking and listening to other people, and they're saying, well, there's no God. He doesn't exist, because if he was a good God, if he was really loving, these things wouldn't happen to you. But then Jesus' words are saying, hey, get ready. You know, you're going to be persecuted, and life is tough. And we're all going to die at one time or another. I don't care if you think you're going to be healthy all your life or you're struggling all your life. Every single person's going to die. It's just what we do with our life in between that time. Some people have a short span. I hear a lot of these young people dying. I cry out and just hope, you know, that the message of Christ came to them and they received it. Because what a waste. And then I think about others, even like some of my idols, like a John Wayne. And I cried out, you know, I go, man, you know, this guy was, you know, such an icon, you know, of American culture, but just more than that. But I don't know if he knew Christ. I don't know. So I cry out, and I cry out for the church, as we, you know, as Randy was saying, you know, we, you know, these little guys, you know, these kids, they're so precious. You see them, you know, love on them, speak to them, tell them, you know, pray for them, pray for those around us. Don't give up, because remember, God is merciful. You know, this, and he could be this long forbearing mercy for some. So we have to continue to pray, continue to look for opportunities to lead them to Christ in one way or another. You know, test those beliefs. You hear things, and, you know, people are reading things, and, you know, I know Nolan, you know, he has his friends, and, you know, they say things to him and say, is this true? And Nolan's going, I don't think it's true, you know, and then they have to talk. Because it's something that somebody else threw out from this and threw out from that, and they mix it all up, and it just becomes all falsified, all just something that's really weird. But in their minds, their hearts, it's a solid belief at that time. So we have to speak the truth in love. And sometimes it'll hurt somebody. But hallelujah, if it cuts them down to the heart and they finally say, Jesus, you are real. You are my Savior and Lord, that they come before Him. You are the Messiah. Urgency, we need it. As that song says, you know, we want to see His kingdom built, you know, light us a fire, right? You ever been in a fire? I don't know. I live in California. We know fires pretty well. And, you know, they race down the mountain and they go quick. And in Texas prairies, you know, those grass fires can move rather quickly too. You know, house fires, things like that. So we're just, you know, we need the urgency of the Holy Spirit to light a fire in our hearts, that this church and this community will be a bright light and there'll just be changes going on. Prayer is so critical in all of that. So critical. We need to get to praying. And, you know, there's different ways we can do that. And we'll be talking about that more in July and August too, about how we can really become urgent in prayer as well as in deeds. Let's pray. Father God, we do give you the glory and praise for your love and the hope that we have in you. Lord, that you have saved us. And Lord, maybe we haven't. Maybe we haven't repented yet. We just didn't quite understand what repentance is. And so right now, Father, I pray that you just impress upon a heart, Lord, and to repent now. This is the time. There's no reason to wait. Waiting, that's of Satan's strategy, but of Christ's strategy is now. You know it. You've seen the miracles. You hear the words. You know it's true. Repent, repent, and be saved. And Lord, may we be those who will be messengers of reconciliation to the community around us. And Lord, all these false beliefs, these things that people just believe that just are so wrong. They're so off because of one thing or another. Lord, not to look down on them, but just to speak in love to them and to connect them to you so they can see that their beliefs are not matching up to who you are, in hopes that you will enlighten them by the power of your Holy Spirit and convict them, and that they can become sons and daughters of the Father in heaven as well. Light as a fire, Father. Light our hearts a fire, that your kingdom will be built right here. We want to see all be saved. We don't want anyone to perish. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen.